This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
Our very first president, George Washington, he once said, "Do not let anyone claim to be a true American if they attempt to remove religion from politics." Yes, some people love it, some people hate it. But the truth is, you just cannot keep politics out of religion, and you can't keep religion out of politics. You see, freedom of religion does not mean freedom from religion. At the same time, of course, we all know that nothing seems to stir the blood more than God and flag. There's even a well-known adage that says, "Never discuss religion or politics in polite company," based on the notion that when these topics are discussed, people often end up in arguments and anger, and afterward, most are more convinced than ever that their viewpoint is the right one. There's an old quote by Jonathan Smith that I think may explain why we often can't come to an agreement when we discuss politics or religion. Jonathan Swift, he said, "You cannot reason someone out of something he or she was not reasoned into." You see, some of us have based our opinion on something we've heard or maybe just picked up from our family without actually processing and reasoning it for ourselves. Please, don't be that person. I encourage you to remain teachable and open to what God may be saying to you, and then reason for yourself. Okay? Several weeks ago, a fellow minister of the gospel and a longtime friend, he told me something that at first I thought was just another political conspiracy theory. And how many know there's plenty of those around? But then I discerned that it was more spiritual than political, that it actually was a threat to the body of Christ. I realized it was something I was going to have to expose. And since that time, I've invested numerous hours studying and researching, asking God for discernment and wisdom. And so today, with God's help, I'm going to turn the light on an elaborate scheme the devil is perpetrating on us in 2020. Now, as you know, I am a pastor, preacher, teacher, and not a politician. I have, however, been in America, been an American citizen for nearly 72 years. I've been governed by 13 different U.S. presidents. Both of my parents and I have all served in the military during wartime, and I've served as a juror in a court of law. But I'm embarrassed to say that I never voted. I never even registered to vote until I was 30 years old. So why did I start then? Well, because I became a Christian, and I saw from God's word that God expected me to be a good steward, which certainly included fulfilling my civic responsibilities. Since accepting Christ, my wife and I have been faithful voters who base our lives, including our politics, on the Word of God, which means submitting to authority and obeying the law. Now, submitting to authority is not always easy, because all of us humans, we are born with an independent spirit. We want to make our own decisions, and we don't like anyone telling us what to do. But the Bible clearly says that we are to submit to authority. So we do. We do it, but we don't like it. So when we see others who are not submitting to, we don't think it's fair. We start protesting, "Hey, if I have to obey, why don't they?" A perfect example is what we see happening in our country right now. The great outrage that we're hearing about is a cry for fair laws and equal application of those laws. The word for this is social justice. Our current generation has been dramatically inflamed by a worldwide sense of inequality. And it's now spilled over into the streets and onto college campuses, even into the halls of Congress. Protests have turned into lawless rioting, even murder. And amazingly, there are many Americans who believe the lawlessness is justified. But it's not. It's illegal. Now, I believe most Americans realize that justice reform is needed. But the methods currently being used to pursue justice, they're going to end up meaning a loss of liberty for all citizens, whether black, white, Latino, Asian, Native American, or immigrant. The minorities and the majority will both lose freedom. At the same time, though, we can't ignore the fact that if something isn't done soon, we're going to find ourselves in a society that rejects all the values and ethics and morality and traditional norms that have made our country civil, made it free. Psalm 94:16 says, "Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will take a stand for me against evildoers?" And all God's people answer, "We will." But how? How are we to stand for you, Lord? And he answers in Ephesians 5:11, "Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them." And exposing the deeds of evil and darkness is what I'm hoping to do today. As I'm sure you'll agree, the first step toward solving any problem is gaining a clear understanding of that problem. And in the case of the civil unrest we're seeing, that's kind of difficult to do because the facts are really distorted. Besides that, there's a lot of emotional rhetoric about these situations. And emotional outrage about serious problems results in what the Bible calls the works of the flesh, where we allow feelings like hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, and murders. We allow that to take over. And we're deceived into believing all this wickedness can somehow produce a godly outcome. But it can't. Now, this isn't to say there aren't real problems to be solved. But we're being deceived into fighting the wrong battle, and we end up answering the wrong questions. Sadly, even Christians, many of them, have replaced Jesus' teachings with a corrupt logic that justifies defiance and violates his way of peace. And when we depart from God's wisdom and the way of peace and love for one another, we become co-conspirators with a philosophy that has the potential of destroying all of us. No, it's not outside sources that are destroying America. We're killing ourselves because we're believing lies. Now, before we go any further, let me state clearly, as I said earlier, I am a minister of the gospel, not a political preacher. I've dedicated my entire life to introducing people to Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. God has also called me to be a pastor, a shepherd, to feed and guard and watch over his people. Why? Because there's an enemy trying to destroy us. His name is Satan, and he does exist. My talking about politics today is purely my attempt to follow Paul's command to expose the worthless deeds of evil and darkness, and to show how Satan is using politics as an elaborate scheme to deceive millions, including many of God's people. So I pray you'll lean in and hear this unusual but important message. Now, the foundation of my sermon is that there is a huge lie that is destroying the world. And the Church of Jesus Christ is the only body of people who have the resources to expose that lie. Unfortunately, much of the church has been beguiled. Much of the church now believes the same lie that Eve believed in the Garden of Eden. You may remember that the serpent introduced a series of lies to the human race in Genesis 3, verse 5. It says, "For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." There they are. The three most destructive lies. Number one, by listening to God, you're blind. Number two, you're not really like God now, but by disobeying Him, you will become like Him. And number three, the way to the ultimate life is to determine good and evil for yourself, apart from God's Word. And embracing these lies has been the basis for every pain and every sorrow that's ever come into the world. The lie that deceived Adam and Eve is the one that's destroying the world today. See, Adam and Eve thought they could have a better world by abandoning God and following their own ideas of good and evil and justice. And it was this lie, inspired by Lucifer, by the way, this lie that gave birth to humanism and eventually gave birth to socialism. Now, I'm sure many of you are thinking, I've never before heard Pastor Moore use the term socialism in a sermon. And that's because I'm pretty sure I never have. But I am today, because I want to bring one of Satan's sneakiest, most dangerous, and most elaborate schemes out into the open. Did you know that socialism fully embraces every lie presented in the garden? It's absolutely true. Socialism sees any notion of God as a destructive, limiting, and religious myth. It declares that you are not created in God's image. Therefore, good and evil are subjective. They're based on current culture and human laws. And let me inject something here that's not widely known. Just as humanism is a transition into socialism, and socialism is a transition into communism, communism is a transition into atheism, which is a transition into Satanism. You see, Karl Marx, most of his books, they've never been read outside of Russia, because the communists don't want the world to know how it was Satanism that drove the creation of communism. Karl Marx was a pure Satanist. Oh, he wasn't like those who think Satanism is about sex and drugs and sin, because you see, the true Satanists, they know that the battle between God and the devil is already determined. It was won the moment Jesus rose from the dead. Marx wrote that he knew he would spend eternity in hell, and that his only joy would be the millions of people he would take with him. See, true Satanists, they know all they can do to hurt God is to hurt what he loves most, which is human beings. Therefore, Satanists are fully committed to using deception or torture to get people to reject God. Now, do most socialists know this? No, because they're deceived. But it is the real goal of socialism. But do you know why socialism is so attractive? It's because it promises the same quality of life that God promises. Of course, there is one small requirement. To have socialism, the philosophies of man must replace God's standards of morality, ethics, and justice. And guess what? For the past 60 to 70 years, everything in American society has been aimed at doing just that, eradicating all knowledge of God. Sadly, much of the church, in an effort to be compassionate, and often without knowing it, the church has become complicit in this political movement that promises a fair and just world where humans can become little gods who are able to determine good and evil for themselves. I mean, the idea of having a utopian society where there is complete equality, that's very tempting to the Christian community. And you can see why, can't you? Because socialism offers everything the Bible offers. And when someone has a passion for the world as God promised it, and that passion is combined with ignorance or wrong interpretation of Scripture, that person is susceptible to what the Bible calls lawlessness. And please note, lawlessness does not merely reject society's laws. No, it rejects God's laws and commandments as the basis for justice. See, it's why we see even Christian pastors and leaders wanting to defy authority. Socialism is a call back to the original temptation to determine good and evil for ourselves and leave God out. But we must never forget, the world was created on the foundation of righteousness, where the inhabitants were to flourish by remaining in harmony with the righteous Creator. If righteousness is perverted, all creation is out of harmony with God, and the foundations are destroyed. As it says in Psalm 11:3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And this is where my real sermon begins. My text, you see, is found in the 24th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus warns us about everything I've just said. Why does he warn us? He warns us so we can either stop these events or know how to overcome them when the rest of the world is crumbling. Jesus begins his teaching with the warning to beware of the deception. He says, watch out that no one deceives you. See, apparently the devil has recruited people to help him. Jesus doesn't say watch out for the devil. He says, watch out that no one deceives you. He's exposing the fact that every attempt to destroy is rooted in deception. Therefore, if we can avoid being deceived, we can stop these events. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, the Apostle Paul points out that we can prevent Satan from taking advantage of us by not being ignorant of his devices. And almost every modern translation of the New Testament translates devices as schemes or plans. However, the word in Greek translated as devices means a mental perception or thought. And the critical factor in bringing worldwide destruction is deception to change your perception. The first perception the enemy wants to change is your view of God, because he knows that he cannot destroy a person or a nation that has a strong belief in God. Therefore, his plan involves recruiting people with influence, people with power, people with money, and then he deceives them into believing that they're smarter than the general public and that because of their elite status, they deserve more than the lower, less intelligent, less woke people. And incidentally, this is not unique to our generation or our nation. It's been happening around the world for decades. When Satan's elitists launch their plan for a country, their tactic is to boost immorality of all kinds. See, they put great effort into normalizing and criminalizing sex crimes, drug trafficking, human trafficking, prostitution, pornography, pedophilia, they're all normalized. See, by making these sinful, deviant behaviors seem normal, they seduce people into rejecting God's morals and rejecting God's values. And the most significant thing that must happen for them is silencing the voices of godly leaders and believers. Because once people have been deceived into doubting God's goodness and God's relevance, the rest of the process is easy. The devil is a master deceiver. And he knows that the way to destroy the world we know, you know, the morals, the values, the ethics, the standards of justice, the way to destroy that is to distort the facts. At this very moment, the global media is spinning world events, trying to shape the perception of those who listen to their twisted reports. Remember, Satan is a deceiver. He's the father of lies, and lies are weapons explicitly designed to alter our perception, which of course results in our changing the way we think, the way we plan, the way we make decisions. Deceit is a tool of the devil. Every citizen living in any country where there is rioting, social unrest, economic instability, they must remember that deceit is the tool. Socialism is the way. But neither of these is the goal. The goal is a godless world controlled by a handful of anti-God elitists who are ultimately influenced and controlled by the devil. And so the Lord Jesus Christ prophetically spoke to this. In Matthew 24, he's not describing things that define the end of time, but he is describing events that lead to an end. These are the signs of the times, and by providing this information, he's equipping his church to be the only entity on earth capable of understanding what's happening. He's telling us what we can do to end this massive destruction. But sadly, the church seems to not be awake. The truth is, much of the church doesn't trust Jesus as much as they trust the government and the news media. Now, without a doubt, the times Jesus described are times of global wars and conflict. Verse 6 says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars." Now, the key word in this phrase is rumors of wars. For you see, the element that drives people to surrender their freedom is not war. No, it's the exaggerated rumors. You realize, don't you, that almost every war on the globe could be ended in a matter of months if we actually fought to win. So once again, Jesus is warning of the subtle art of deception. Yes, there will be wars, but it is the rumors, exaggerations, bias, slanderous reports. That's what overcomes people with fear. I think we've all seen video clips from one riot cut into various scenes and then shown on the news to create the illusion of nationwide or citywide rioting. I mean, the video was factual, but the facts were exaggerated. Why? For the purpose of altering our perception. Why? To make us afraid. They rely on our fear. Listen, very little of what we see or hear on the news today is factual. What we see are snippets of speeches and events lifted out of context in order to change the meaning. And when an event is lifted out of context, guess what? It's no longer true, even though the facts are presented. Are you tracking with me? Well, let's continue in Matthew 24. Jesus says, "But see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come." What did he say? He said, "See to it that you are not alarmed, that you're not afraid." We must resist fear. Fear puts us in a fight or flight mode, and it makes it impossible to hear God in our hearts. Don't let fear rule you. But please note, Jesus said, these things must happen, but the end is still to come. In other words, an end is still coming, but this is not the end of time. These things that Jesus said must happen are things designed to bring about an end so there can be a new beginning. They're not random. The purpose of allowing the spread of unchecked lawlessness is to bring an end to something and open the door to something else. And what's coming to an end is a just, fair, civil society. And what's emerging is a society of lawlessness. Our text says, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. See, I believe these things being inflicted on the world by the wicked for the purpose of giving birth is for the purpose of giving birth to a world with no knowledge of God. I further believe this new world order will be a new system of government which will end freedom as we know it. It's going to unleash new depths of immorality and inhuman treatment against the poor by the elite. See, all the people will either be in the ruling class or they'll be property of the state. And you know how they're going to get there? Through fear. They silence all who express a difference of opinion. It becomes more and more apparent that all these people screaming for justice have absolutely no interest in justice as we understand it. They want to take away the rights of all who dare to disagree with their concept of justice. Businesses are boycotted and destroyed for merely disagreeing with some extreme political view or for liking an opinion that the other people reject. See, elitism not only tells you what you can do, it tells you how you should think. Now, you'd think it would require a huge number of conspirators to transform the whole world. But as it turns out, all it takes is a handful of the wealthiest anti-God elitists on the globe. Their followers don't need to understand their real intentions. All their followers need to be is greedy or idealistic. And so what happens is corrupt, wealthy people spend billions of dollars on elections for the simple goal of providing a high-budget campaign for a candidate that will embrace anti-God principles. The wealthiest people in the world, they're the ones who finance the elitist agenda. They buy people with influence. They know politicians have legislative powers. People in the media have a voice and a platform. Entertainers, they influence the decay of morality. Union leaders, they can affect the economy. Educators can shape the paradigm of our children. Incidentally, you do realize that much of what we see playing out in the streets of America is the result of the brainwashing our kids receive in the classroom. See, four lies are emphasized in today's public educational system. Number one, America is evil. Number two, socialism is good. Number three, God is a myth. And number four, every white person is a privileged racist, even if they don't know it. Anyway, the global elitists create overwhelming fear by using propaganda to blow conflicts entirely out of proportion. They create straw men to blame for the problems, and then when we're afraid of the problems, they come and offer solutions. But guess what? The solutions always require surrendering personal freedom. Now, are there genuine problems in America and other countries? Absolutely. But there's one thing you can be sure of. Those controlling the media and those offering solutions that violate God's justice, they are the ones who created and inflated the problem. You can also be sure that the world they're seeking to create will be utopia for them. it's going to be hell for the rest of us. And Jesus warns us about this in the prophecy we're reading in Matthew 24. We are His body on earth, and He knows if we can avoid being deceived, we can stop these events, or at least know how to overcome when the rest of the world is crumbling around us. See, He warns us to avoid the temptation to stay silent, just so we can avoid momentary persecution. He warns us to avoid the temptation to surrender our freedoms in exchange for the illusion of independence. And He warns us to avoid the temptation of denying Jesus as Lord so we can serve the elite who are actually servants of Satan. So let's look at one last time at Jesus' prophecy. He says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Friends, let's make sure that we are among the ones who stand firm to the end. We've just completed a sermon series here at New Life. And in that series, we learned that as Christians, we have been given the mind of Christ. Why? So we can discern truth. So we can see through the devil's lies and not be deceived. We have the mind of Christ so we can represent Him to a lost world. Well, I know today's sermon is too much to be digested in one sitting. I've been ruminating on it for weeks, and believe it or not, I left a lot out as I worked to trim it down to this one message. I recommend that you find time to go to newlifekc.com and re-listen to this message. I'm praying that you will do as the Apostle Paul said and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and then be willing to believe and obey whatever God says. Never forget, church, God loves every person on earth, and He has called His people, that's you and me, to love them into the kingdom. Will you raise one hand and place the other on your chest as I pray for God's blessing? May the Word of God shape you. May the Spirit of God fill you, and the purposes of God drive you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.